Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
I'd been working there for just over a year when my manager asked me if I wanted to switch to the overnight shift. I was promised more hours, and it came at a time where I really needed the money. Like many others who worked there, I kept telling myself I wouldn't get stuck in that place. I'd refuse promotions and leave when I saw a better opportunity. That kept repeating in my head, even after I'd been offered the chance to manage the overnight after working it for a few months. I'd basically been doing the same thing I already was as a trainer, and I'd make more. Not much more, but any bit helped. So begrudgingly, I took the promotion and started to oversee the overnight. Nothing changed other than noticing just how often overnight workers came in late or just didn't come in. Even at a place like McDonald's, it was tough to find people who wanted to work through the night, so upper management tended to turn a blind eye as long as the food was going out. It went like that for another few months. Things weren't great, but I was making enough to barely skate by, and I'd gotten to know the overnight workers fairly well. I would have been content to work that night shift until my better opportunity revealed itself, if it wasn't for that one night. People like to make up stories about the places they work. They like to say they see a ghost, as if a dead person is clinging to the downtown Tim Hortons. What happened to me, though? It's undeniable. I didn't see some floating orbs, or watch a door open on its own and psych myself out or anything like that. I'll just start with a call I had come to expect at least a few times a week. Before the evening shift even left, I received a call that one of my overnight employees was going to be late. He gave some half-hearted excuse, not even bothering to put in the effort to make it sound believable. We both knew he just wanted to be late, but what could I do? It was a Tuesday, and so it would be pretty slow. Payroll dictated that it would just be me and Ryan, the one who would be late. It would be annoying to work the store alone until he showed up, but you get used to angry customers who have to wait on their food. I watched the sun go down and the sky grow dark as customers and workers alike left the building one by one. I could already tell it was going to be a quiet night. As the clock hit 11 and there was still no sign of Ryan, I got up from my seat in the office and went to lock the doors to the lobby. We stayed open all night, but only the drive-thru operated after 11. I was told it was to cut down on labour, but I was never too certain about that. Other stores kept their lobbies open in much worse neighborhoods. It slowed down traffic though, so who was I to complain? With a heavy sigh, I looked over the parking lot through the windows to see if Ryan had made it yet, but the place was empty. Even the roads were devoid of any traffic. I felt bizarrely isolated, looking at the dark windows of surrounding businesses. Moving back to the kitchen, I started cooking some meat and dropped a basket of fries. Just as I expected, time went on, and within an hour, I only had to serve two customers. One was a family of four, clearly on a road trip, as they all had blankets on their laps. I was worried they were going to order something large, but they just needed something to snack on. The other car was a man, clearly well on his way to intoxication. I could smell the stink of alcohol when his window opened to pay for the 5 McChickens. He would certainly need all the bread. Not sure about the grease though. A while passed as I swept the floors and played around on my phone in the office, making sure to circulate the cooked meat so nothing got too stale. It's not like I really needed the help, but I was getting annoyed regardless. Plus, I was the manager, so I picked up the phone and called Ryan. My eyes rolled as the ringtone continued to play until his voicemail chimed in. I hoped that maybe he was driving when I noticed headlights illuminating the dim lobby area. Moments later, I heard a pounding on one of the locked doors. It was either Ryan or someone thinking the lobby was open. Hoping it was the former, I left the office and walked through the kitchen to the lobby. When I could finally get eyes on the door, there was no one there. Even the headlights I had noticed were gone. I thought someone threw something at the door, but there was nothing on the ground. I stood for a moment, seeing if Ryan was just messing around, when the ding from the fryer nearly made me fall backwards. It was the last batch of nuggets before I had to start switching to the breakfast menu. Taking one last look at the parking lot, I noticed that although the headlights were turned off, there was indeed a car sitting in the lot. Choosing to ignore it, I walked to the kitchen and pulled the nuggets out. Then I attempted to call Ryan again. This time, being sent straight to voicemail, I prepared myself to work the entire shift alone. Another customer came through as normal. Some teens that were partying late and wanted, quote, whatever nuggets you have left. I boxed their chicken product and handed them the food. As they drove away, I suddenly descended into darkness. All the lights in the store flicked off, except the faint glowing red numbers on some of the machines. It was rare but not unheard of that the power would go out. You just had to put a new fuse in the breaker. The pain in the ass was that the breaker was located by the menu board outside, so I would have to leave the store in the middle of the night alone. The inconveniences of that night were starting to pile on. Clutching my fingers with keys in tow, I once again made my way from the office through the kitchen and into the lobby. I stopped right in my tracks as my fingers laced around the door's chilled steel bar. Just as I was about to unlock the door, I noticed that other than the car, there was a figure standing in the parking lot. Without the interior lights illuminating the individual, I couldn't make out any features, only that they were too tall for it to be Ryan. "Lobby's closed," I robotically voiced just under a shout, hoping they would just leave. I didn't want to step out with a stranger standing there. What felt like a handful of minutes passed as I made eye contact with the stranger, small glinting beads that I assumed to be their eyes anyway. From within the kitchen, I heard the familiar plastic bounce of a warming tray hitting the ground. It startled me enough to grab my attention. As I turned my head, the store became flooded with light again. Confused, I turned back to the parking lot, hoping to get a better look at the stranger. But when I did, there was no one there. My headset chimed to alert me that someone was waiting in the drive-thru, and I shifted gears to talk to the customer. I was getting nervous, and the thought of hearing another person was enough to soothe me. Reaching my finger to the talk button, I began to speak when I was interrupted by a high-pitched whining, the type a stadium microphone would give out from interference. I had heard it before, almost every day, but in the quiet store, it sounded so loud, almost like it was playing through speakers. A knee-jerk reaction caused me to fling the headset to the ground. That's when another loud bang came from the door beside me. Out of sheer frustration, I dropped the hardest F-bomb of my life and turned to the door, ready to lash out at whoever was messing with me. It's burned into my head. Every time I have the audacity to try and shut my eyes, he's always right there. Ryan's body pressed up against the glass door, his uniform's blue color perfectly complementing the fresh red stains running down from his chest. I could see the heavy breathing spewing from his mouth, painting the glass a frothy gray. His eyes burned with such a fierce terror that they nearly froze me. As I fumbled with my keys, I leaned in closer to reassure him that I was coming. The hand he had placed in the glass started to slip down, leaving thin veins of red. His pinky and ring fingers were just gone. The skin was jagged and loose, and a hint of white protruded. It was like a damn bear assaulted him. As his hand slipped through, I could see the small silver glint of something watching me, just behind Ryan, waiting for the door to open, for Ryan's body weight to make closing it again a nearly impossible task, waiting to get inside. The plumes of breath that Ryan was exhaling became thinner and less hearty as my fingers refused to open the door. My eyes shifted between Ryan's and the stranger. Each time I would go back to Ryan's eyes, they would be softer and holding less fire. His body slumped, and the light from inside the McDonald's began to cast on the stranger. The thing was barely human. Its skin was so ragged and old, it looked like his body had been wrapped in an old leather couch. The small beads of light that I assumed to be his eyes were just bits of metal that had been embedded deep into the socket, causing the skin around his eyes to tear apart, revealing a blue interior. Its mouth was closed tight and constantly shifting between a forced smile and a downer frown, almost like it was chewing emotions. Ryan was long gone. I could see only the front of him still, but judging by the bits of normal fleshing poking out between the creature's poor excuse for lips and the amount of blood still pooling, it was safe to assume all his major injuries were focused on his back. I couldn't help but picture the mangled mess that I wasn't able to see. I recoiled from the door, nearly dropping my keys. The thing outside the door grinned so wide, it was clearly trying to show me its teeth. Teeth that shined under the light, just as his eyes did. A horrible display of sheet metal dentistry with bits of Ryan stuck between. It began moving its jaw back and forth, and as the metal began to grind against each other, I heard the unmistakable high-pitched whining. I couldn't understand how the noise was so loud until I looked around to see the same beady eyes mobbing the outside of the store. I had been serving customers the same garbage quality meat for years, and now there was a group of customers gnashing at the teeth to get something a little fancier. They began to bang their hands against the glass in unison. I could almost feel the store itself shaking around me. I could see shreds of flesh being stuck to the windows when their fist made an impact. Fumbling for my phone, I cursed at myself for somehow forgetting the 3-digit phone number, but quickly went to punch it in. What the hell could I even tell them? If I told them what I was seeing, I would sound completely cracked out. If I said it was just a break-in, then they'd ask why the alarm wasn't tripped. The damn hungry things continued pounding away at the windows and doors until it caused a throbbing in my head. I could barely hear the phone as I put it up to my ear. I expected it to start ringing, but it never did. Just the hiss and static, barely audible over the interference those creatures were causing. I couldn't get a call out with them. I started rushing to the office, intending to use the landline phone that Ryan rang to call in late. As I headed into the kitchen, I heard an unsettling snap from behind me. Turning around, already knowing the worst, I could see a large spiderweb crack forming on the glass. Forget calling the cops, there was no way they would even make it in time. Walking backward, my foot landed on the discarded meat that had fallen out of the tray warmer earlier. It sent me reeling to the floor, and I landed hard on my tailbone. It took my breath away momentarily, and I stared at the meat as my composure returned. There was another snap from the lobby. This time, it sounded sharper, like the window was about to give way. There was a door in the back that has an alarm on it. We use it for deliveries and taking the garbage out. You need a key to disarm it, but if you didn't, an alarm would sound, and maybe the police would show eventually. But the glass wasn't going to hold out. I needed a way to exit that door and run as fast as I could. The noise of the alarm would no doubt alert whatever those things were. Looking to the tray of slowly aging meat and the pile of French fries sitting under the heat lamp, I had one plan I could put into action. Quickly pulling out whatever trays I could manage to hold, I headed over to the drive-thru window. I opened the window and quickly tossed the meat out as far away from the store as I could. Almost instantly, the pounding stopped, and I heard the bizarre shuffling of what sounded like chalk rubbing against the sidewalk. I didn't stop to dwell on it. I just kept alternating between grabbing our trays and throwing them out the window until they were all empty. Then I chucked nugget boxes full of French fries. Stopping for just a moment, I watched the huddled mass of those creatures, all different heights and builds, scavenging through the food, grabbing chunks of it and hurling it into their mouths like animals. The drive-through window was thankfully on the opposite end of the store as the door was, so with my morbid curiosity filled, I turned and began my sprint. I was sure those things would make their way through the food in no time, so I didn't hesitate. Busting through the back door, I heard the loud, siren-like chirping of the alarm going off behind me, filling the night with its call. The sound dimmed as the door slammed shut, but it would continue to go until it was turned off. The night was brisk against my bare arms as I pumped them as hard as I could, running into a nearby open field. I didn't know where I was heading. I just wanted to get away. I could hear small scrapes of chalk clinking away at the parking lot behind me. The things were already on my tail. Still, I ran, harder than I ever thought I could. Eventually, I reached the other side of the field, where a 24-hour supermarket would act as my sanctuary. I didn't think about the horrors of leading those things to more people until I hit the pavement again. Turning around to see if they were still following me, I saw the group of them all stood still in the field. It was as if the earth itself was calling them back. They slumped over in unnatural ways to press their bodies against the grass. It was similar to what quicksand does in cartoons. Their shapes pulled down into the dirt and absorbed by the field until it was empty. I couldn't tell you how long I stood and stared at the field, just waiting for one of them to pop up like the end of some 80s slasher flick. It never happened. Eventually, the alternating lights of a police car did come into view. I wanted to run, but I started walking back to the McDonald's, making damn sure to avoid stepping on the field. I was worried about what was going to happen to me, worried about the state of the store, and of course, the body outside of it. When I returned, however, there wasn't a body in sight. Only various chunks of hamburger. Even the plastic trays were ripped apart and gnawed at. The windows were worse for wear as well, with pieces of glass ripped out where the crack first formed. There were still some shards at the base of the window, but not enough to account for how much was lost. There are cameras inside and outside of the store, but to add to the inconveniences, only the ones inside were working. So the footage just showed me maniacally running around until I freaked out so much that I started throwing food out of the window. Without evidence otherwise, I just explained I'd gotten into it with a customer. I left with a lot of questions unanswered, but it was enough for the cop to let me go, and enough for McDonald's to let me go, like firing me. So, that was my final overnight shift at McDonald's, and will likely stay with me long after I've forgotten about ever working there. I still go there sometimes, drive by slowly in the middle of the night. He's always there, always watching me drive by the place, my headlights reflecting off the shards of glass pressed into his eyes. And honestly, I'm just surprised Ryan gets there on time.